Good evening, James McCanny here with my Science Hour, May 7th, 2015. A couple quick notes. Appreciate the people who have made orders recently. Thanks for your support that keeps this show going commercial free. A new topic here, listener email. This deals with a topic called thunderstorms. The idea that, this has to deal with the many pictures that are on the internet, of course, of the volcanic explosions, and I talked about this last week, that the lightning bolts surrounding the volcanoes. And so anyway, a listener sent in an email. The standard theory is that dirty thunderstorms, in other words, dirt in thunderstorms, is the cause of lightning around volcanoes. But anyway, I'm not going to waste any show time talking more about standard theory and lightning. It's I sat, this is a very interesting personal story. The other day, I sat and watched thunderstorms developing as they crescendoed from the cumulonimbus clouds, and the expanding clouds basically are electrical. That's what causes them. The electricity expanding causes those bubbly looking constructs that are the basis of cumulonimbus clouds as they grow and grow. And then all of a sudden they hit a level and where the wind blows the top off, and it forms that thunderhead looking cloud. So at any rate, that is just to watch the actual electrical process. And then as the sun went down, the electrical conditions below and above the clouds, I was watching from a distance, so I could see the top of the clouds and I could see the bottom of the clouds from a distance, watching the lightning on both ends. And you could see this as part of an electrical circuit. It is a component of electrical circuit. It's not the main event, so to speak. So at any rate, listen to my show last week. I go through a long discussion about thunderstorms. Okay, here's another article that talks about solar energy, and it asks the question, it says, and this is, I'm glad they're saying this, not just me, it says, can solar replace nuclear energy in the marketplace right now? And remember that nuclear is only about a third of the energy equation in terms of providing energy. And they say the answer is almost. Well, gee, if you can't replace it all, then you still need that central power company. And so tonight, unfortunately, I have to go back onto this topic, but I have some interesting statistics that you will hopefully understand by the end of this show, that solar is going to be the great boondoggle of the decade. Then the following question in this particular article, it's by the Fair Winds crew, and they're talking about small modular power, something I particularly deal in with myself. But it says, rephrase the question, can solar be a part of renewable system replacing nuclear in our energy profile? And then it says, absolutely, like, just wonderful. It can and it must. But, you know, unfortunately, what's going on is the bulk of the vast majority of people don't know what the right question to ask is. And this gets into the political arena. This gets into the, of course, energy arena. The question, there's only one single question that you have to ask. Can it replace all of our energy needs? Now they're talking about bringing on automobiles, electric automobiles, which I believe is a fantastic idea. However, if you're burning coal at a power plant or nuclear fuel and you have to increase that output to now include the energy requirement for the family car or for transportation in general, you have an enormous problem. The average energy, and here's the kind of the crux of the issue. Right now in the United States, the average energy consumption Now remember this number, the average energy consumption per household per year is 11,000 kilowatt hours. Now, what does that mean? Okay, what it means is, let's take a single, many people would are more familiar with something like a 100-watt light bulb. Okay, so a 100-watt light bulb burning all the time, 24 hours a day. In one day, it burns 2,400 watt hours of energy. That, in other words, it's 100 watts for 24 hours. You multiply those together and you get 2,400 watt hours. Now multiply that together, and in a year, the 100 watt light bulb would burn for 8,760 hours. So then multiply that by 100 and you get 876,000 watt hours per year. That's a 100 watt light bulb burning 24 hours a day all year long. Now we certainly use a lot more power than that. Now divide that by 1,000, and that's the number of kilowatt hours. That K in there is very important. So now that 100 watt light bulb burns 876 kilowatts hours of energy per year. And so when you add that hour on there, if you burn a 100 watt light bulb, I'm going to go through this again because this is kind of the key. This is kind of our unit of energy. So once again, a 100 watt light bulb burning for 1 hour is 100 watt hours of energy. Okay, so 100 is a tenth of a kilowatt, so that's a tenth of a kilowatt hour of energy. So now burn that for 24 hours, and then multiply by 365 days per year. That's 876 kilowatt hours per year for that light bulb. So, okay, then let's take a look at the 11,000 kilowatt hours per year rating for the average household in the United States. And that would be the equivalent of running about, let's see, what was that number? Let me quick calculate that. That is about 13 100-watt light bulbs running 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. But, of course, now we use more efficient light bulbs. But this includes the clothes washer, you know, the fan on the furnace. This includes air conditioning, other factors. Now let's take a look at a system of solar panels and figure this out. Now let's say that we had 100 watt panels of solar panels, and this is kind of an average size. You can buy more expensive panels that are about 400 watts each, but let's use the equivalent. And so in other words, if you had a perfect scenario where you had sunlight all day long and all night long, and you had a 100 watt solar panel, and you were running 100 watt light bulbs, you could run that 100 watt light bulb all year long for free on your solar panel. Sounds like a good deal, but wait till you understand what the real numbers are. Now, how many of those solar panels would you need if you are running your 11,000 kilowatt hour average household in the United States? How many of those solar panels would you need? You would need 13 solar panels, 1,300 watt solar panels. Well, gee, there again, that sounds pretty good. Just 1,300 watt solar panels, and you'd have all your energy needs. Is that correct? No, it's not correct. What do you have to do? Well, you have to modify this for the fact that the sun doesn't shine all the time. The sun doesn't shine directly on those solar panels all the time, and then you have cloudy days. You, even in the most sunny areas, plus add in the fact that most solar panels are overrated. So if you had a 80-watt, or let's say 100-watt solar panel on the brightest day in Arizona, in that solar panel was directed perfectly perpendicular to the line with the sun, in other words, perfectly set up to get the maximum amount of power, you might get 90 watts out of it. And then as soon as the sun moved, in 15 minutes, you'd be dropping down to 85%. by 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you'd be getting 70%, and by 4 in the afternoon, you'd be getting about 10%, just because of the angle of the sun. That's on a perfect sunny day. Okay, so now what we do, you take a multiplication factor of 2 hours, actually. In other words, you can get about 2 hours of 100% use out of that solar panel per day. And this is now, you have to understand, you're going to have cloudy days. Not everybody lives in Sun Valley where you get 300 sunny days per year. That's a myth. And even a little bit of cloud cover, which happens the majority by midday, most places in the country have cover. So giving it a factor of 2 hours per day at 100% is relatively generous. Okay, now that means that your 100-watt solar panel will run your 100-watt light bulb for 2 hours. But now we have some other problems. You're not running that directly. You get a DC output out of your solar panel. And so what you run that into is an inverter, which loses efficiency, and also then many times you store the energy in a battery. These are all efficiency losses. Now, I know about this because I particularly have used systems like this. I have, I'm personally off the grid completely myself, and have been for a long time. So it's something I know about storing energy in batteries, what the return is, how long can you run on your system, etc., and what good backup systems are, etc. But so your perfect multiplication factor of 2 is not really a factor of 2. It's about maybe 1.5. That means your 1.5 that means your 100-watt solar panel, where if you had perfect sun 24 hours a day, which of course we don't have, like I said, would run that 100-watt light bulb perfectly, and you could run it all year long forever for free. But that's not the case. So let's use, and I'm going to be generous. I'm not going to be the devil's advocate here. I'm going to be generous and say that on the average, over the course of the year, that 100-watt solar panel will have a multiplication factor of 2. In other words, you will get 200 watt-hours out of that solar panel per day. That is a 0.2 kilowatts. Now, this is going to be rather confusing, so I'll go through these numbers again, but what we're working at here is some final end results. And what you come up with is a number, and I keep coming up with this number. I've done this many ways. I've done this. I've converted. I've made many, many different types of conversions, but you end up with 73. Now, remember that number, 73 kilowatt hours per year. Okay, so that means to supply your house, your 11,000 kilowatt hour per year house supply, you would need 150 solar panels. Okay, well, that's quite a few. The average house would not accommodate 150 solar panels on their roof. And so there's other factors, but let's say that you could get 400 watt panels. So that would be a total of about 38 400 watt panels on your roof. Now, these people will do calculations for you, and now you would need a battery pack that would accommodate your daily usage, etc. If you wanted to be completely off-grid, now what's this system going to cost you to put in a completely off-the-grid solar system? The total cost is going to be around $40,000 to $50,000. So for you to justify this, either you have to be someone in a remote area, and this is perfectly possible. If you're a large store, say that you're a big box store. Let's take a great example. How much energy do they use per year? Well, certainly they have air conditioning units. They have lighting in the entire store. They have the cash registers. They have the back office. They have probably the coolers for food, the meat refrigerators. If they sell like Walmart or Target, they would have food refrigerators. And so we're talking serious, serious amount of power. How much would it cost for a Walmart store to provide all of its energy need by sun power? Okay, I'm looking at the Walmart's web page here right now. They say they are committed to alternative energy. They are 32%, they say, of the way to using renewable energy. But only 24% of this is done locally at the stores. But they use 2.2 billion kilowatt hours annually. That's a pretty big number compared to the 11,000 that is used in the average home. Let me just make a quick calculation so we get a relationship here. Just a quick calculation shows that that's about 6,000 times the amount of electricity you use in your house. Now, that's easily understandable, but then let's look at some industries where they're using tremendous amounts of electricity, such as the metal industry or the auto industry, conversion of raw ore into iron, or the recycling of metals. Some industries which use tremendous, or machining industries where they have, or manufacturing where they have three-phase motors going all of the time. Okay, so they use a tremendous amount of power. So we're not just talking about your little home user here, we're talking about the national power consumption. Okay, so this is starting to give you possibly a feeling for the extent of the power issue. Now, say that everybody in the United States could afford $50,000 to put a solar panel system on their house. Would we cure our energy problem, and would we close down that central power generating unit, the central utility company that generates the electricity? Well, no. First of all, are we going to have 38 was the number. Are we going to have 38 400 watt solar panels on every house in the United States, along with the battery packs that have to go with that, and with then the all of the other issues that go with that? Are we going to be able to shut down that central power station? The answer is simply no. Can we put enough solar panels on all the industries in the United States, in all the Walmarts and all the big box stores and all the other shopping centers, etc.? Are we going to be able to convert to solar power to do that? The answer is simply no. Let's look at a metropolitan area with 2 million people on average. You're talking 8 major electrical power generation units. They might be nuclear, they might be coal, or they might be as many as 15 of these units, all running at around 500 megawatts each. And so now the other thing that's going on, there's a battle between the local utilities and the local governments all the way up to the state level as to whether to allow individuals to produce electricity. And I just saw an article, for example, on North Carolina, where they have installed a base of 10 times as many solar systems this year as they did last year. So that's a healthy growing industry. You'd love to be in any industry that's growing by a tenfold increase. But then the answer is, okay, now you not only have to install the solar panels, but you have to have a smart, intelligent device that allows you to connect into the grid so that when you have excess energy, if you have excess energy, you can put that back in the grid. But like I said before, this is a few weeks ago, you are buying energy at a retail cost. When you put it back on the grid, you have to pay a fee to do that. You have to buy the equipment. And it's very inefficient. You're selling it back at wholesale prices because you're an energy producer now. So the people have this erroneous concept that you're going to somehow have a one-to-one match of energy that you're selling back to the energy company. No, not at all. You're selling it back actually at below wholesale cost to the energy producing company, to the local utility. And you're buying it at retail. Not a good plan. If I had to publish my books in an economy like that, it just wouldn't work. So anyway, the short part of this story is that the solar industry, they're trying to pump this up. Let me go back to North Carolina. Duke Energy is the main state utility, and they are somewhat in cahoots with the local governor, who's been on their side, let's say, over the past decades, and preventing individual households from leasing solar. That's a way where you can get into a solar system by leasing and not pay all of that upfront cost. But then, of course, over the years, you're paying a lot more for that system than if you purchased it outright. But it's a way to increase sales. They say when the leases are available, then the sales of solar go up. And then everybody thinks that that's a good thing. But then I noticed something odd, that Greenpeace, which is that group that has been out there preventing whales from being killed and everything, a lot of good work. But unfortunately, when it comes to energy, they have been infiltrated tremendously. And so they are actually organizing the protests against Duke Energy and the state government from allowing leasing and other tax incentives for the public. Greenpeace is actually organizing the protests. And I thought, well, that's very interesting. Now, in the energy industry, and I've said this before, I have this my own book. It's called The Wind Generator World Energy Project, where I analyze the world energy situation. And so what's going on there, I make the point in there that any system that will work, any system that's viable that will replace the central power generating companies, the centralized utilities, any plan that's in place to do that will just never see the light of day. We see all kinds of, I call them silly projects. They're good efforts, but they simply do not answer the question. They cannot fulfill the assignment. Can they replace the world energy needs? And the answer is simply no. Like, for example, big bobbers that are set out in the North Sea north of England, they use wave action to trap energy. Well, that sounds swell. But also there are devices, big propellers, that use ocean currents and try and convert energy that way. But the reality is these are very low output. They're not going to replace the world energy need. Let's go back to the 11,000 kilowatt per hour average residential USA home usage, 11,000 kilowatt hours. Remember, that's the equivalent of running 13 100-watt light bulbs 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. 1,300-watt light bulbs running full-time. That's the average American electric usage. Now, let's throw in the electric car. Now we got a problem. You're replacing, now when you go to the gas station, really one of the most efficient energy sources for automobiles is gasoline. It has the highest energy content per pound. If you were to use batteries to provide the same amount of energy per unit weight, gasoline outdoes batteries, even the modern lithium-ion batteries. This is what I'm getting at, by the way, is the Elon Musk announcement about his battery packs, the lithium-ion battery packs that he plans to put in houses. And so, of course, in conjunction with solar panels. And just to give you a preview, the entire point is that that will give the power companies centralized power much more than ever before, because it's not going to solve the problem. They are positioning themselves for the time when the electric car comes online and they are going to be making the money for you driving up and down the street instead of the oil companies. But a very inefficient system. They're talking, you're talking about probably less than 10% efficiency of the coal or nuclear energy and heat that's expended to generate the electricity. About 10% of that is actually getting to the wall plug at your house to be used. Okay, now mix in the family car, and you're going to, I'd say, conservatively triple that 11,000 kilowatt hours per year. Now your 40 panels on a house of 400 watts each, or your 150 panels of 100 watts each, triples. So now you would need 450 100 watt panels, or you would need about 120 to 160 of the 400 watt panels. Now the price tag is up around probably more than what your house costs, the price to put those solar panels on the house. Now you're starting to see what's going on here. When you started to look at these numbers and you throw in the family car, and I thought it was cute when Elon Musk made his announcement about the power packs, the lithium-ion powder packs that he plans to put in houses. And actually, I very much applaud that effort. It's just that they're selling it as an overall solution to the national energy problem, and it is anything but that. He's going to make a lot of money, and he's going to sell a lot of solar panels, and there are going to be a lot of people, a lot of greenies and a lot of Greenpeace people and all kinds of people out there writing articles. It's already happening about how wonderful this is and how it's going to solve your energy needs, and how it's someday, and they're hinting at that someday this could replace that nuclear power generator, which is an absolute disaster. When they start decommissioning, understand that the majority of nuclear power plants in the United States are past their licensed commissioned lifetime. They're burning the candle at both ends. And these babies are going to start to fail. It already happened, the San Diego facility. Billions of dollars they have to expend on decommissioning that facility. Wait till you start having to do this nationwide. The unbelievable cost of paying for a facility that is producing zero electricity. That is coming. You have the decommissioning of the three-blade wind generators, which right now they're just leaving them sit there. But eventually the farmers, the other locales that have allowed those on their properties are going to understand that, hey, this thing is an eyesore. It's actually dangerous. Things are going to start to fall off of it. Like in the south coast of Hawaii, there's an installation where they're literally falling apart. It has to be surrounded by barbed wire fences so that nobody goes there, so that the junk falling off the three-blade wind towers falling down to the ground doesn't hurt anybody. This is going to happen. That's another thing I've talked about extensively, is the robbery on the, and look at the people who are in the business of the three-blade wind generator. Just a little aside note, just so I don't forget, when Elon Musk announced his battery pack for the houses, it's on, I believe, a 7 kilowatt hour package and a 10 kilowatt hour package. They wholesale for, they say, between $3,000 and $3,500, so that's going to put a retail price of around $6,000 to probably $10,000, somewhere in that price range, per unit. And that, of course, is would be added on to the energy cost. Let me just make a quick comment on that also. This is primarily being sold as a smart control unit for in the home. In other words, during off-peak electric times, you build up your battery, and then during peak times, you use the electricity from your battery in your home. And for most people, however, to pay $10,000 just to do that is probably not economically feasible or even a good idea. The payback on it is decades away, it's just not a good plan for the average household to invest that kind of money just so you can use off-peak power. But also I thought it was cute that in his ad, this is the original point of my comment, was one of his Tesla Roadsters, or a sedan, I believe. It was a sedan in the picture I saw. And it had the electric cord, and it looked like there's the Tesla power pack in your house, and there's your Tesla automobile, and gee, you probably got the Tesla solar panels on the roof, and everybody's thinking green. Well, I'll tell you who's thinking green is the Central Power Company, because they are one of the main funding agencies for the Elon Musk power pack battery factories. They're talking about not mega factories, but giga factories, where they're going to produce millions of these. Also, I'll be talking a little bit about the sources of lithium, and that's an issue in itself. Is there enough lithium to make power packs for the entire needs of the country, to fulfill the needs of the household industry? And when I designed this in my wing generator project, I talked about the household capacitors, mega capacitors. Now, these are much more easily constructed, and the much higher energy content in something the size of your water filter, a high voltage, high energy capacitor that would last a lot longer and not use exotic materials like lithium. So anyway, I think that Elon Musk has great ideas, but he needs to research them a bit better and start looking into other industries. But anyway, that's another issue. But like I say, I thought it was rather cute that he showed the family car in the picture, the electric family electric car, just simply not mentioning that the power companies, the electric power companies, are just frothing at the teeth over the thought of you putting an electric automobile in your house en masse. And of course, that's already being done. But the individual automobile is going to double, triple, or possibly quadruple. Now, most families do not simply have one car. You have two or three cars that are running back and forth, running the kids to, soccer matches or whatever. And so this is a lot more than running your washing machine and air conditioner at your house. We're talking serious amount of power, replacing the gasoline, well, primarily gasoline, a bit of diesel, but primary gasoline for the family car. Now you're talking serious energy, and to make those calculations and make the equivalent of the cost of gasoline per household now that is used, that's a major expense in the family budget. Instead of paying the gasoline pump owner, you're going to be paying the electric central utility company. Now, when I went through my calculations and equivalence replacement calculations for the wing generator project, I took this into account. Right now, there are around 150 nuclear energy facilities in the United States, and the number of coal facilities. If you bring that online, add up all the energy that is produced today. Remember, if you're going to put electric cars online, you have to double, triple, or quadruple that number, because now you're replacing gasoline. And so to do that, we simply don't have enough infrastructure to produce the amount of electricity for everybody out there to have an electric car. And as I said, even if you did, it would be very inefficient, and we'd be burning a lot more coal and a lot more nuclear energy to provide that power. So it's really not an excellent plan at all. The bottom line is, and hopefully you're starting to see the point of all of this, that solar panels, electric batteries in your house, and off-grid power is not going to solve solar off-grid power, even if you put in large banks. Now, there are such things called solar gardens where people have a cooperative and they put in a whole bank of solar panels, and they're owned collectively by people who live in apartments in towns and cities, etc. But the end result is then that you're selling that electricity back to the energy company at wholesale prices, it's really a long, it's more to make the people feel good than any kind of economic benefit, and certainly not a green benefit, because you're causing more problems at the centralized energy production companies, because when the clouds roll in, the more solar energy that is brought online, the more solar energy that's brought online, the more difficult it is for the energy company to produce a consistent 120 volt, or 110 volt, I should say, energy source, or 220 as it comes out to most houses these days. It's actually 220 volts. But the end result, it actually puts a lot more control in the hands of the electric companies. Now, here's a factor that not many people understand. Who controls the voltage? Who controls the voltage? Now, in my plan with the Wing Generator World Energy Project, you control the voltage. The grid is simply used to dump electric power that is generated by my very efficient wing generators, and the maintenance of the voltage and the current levels, etc., which are now controlled at very great difficulty by the central power companies. And as more solar comes online, it's going to be much more difficult for them to control. And that's one of the reasons they're fighting individualized power production, because it's very difficult for them to produce electrically consistent and maintain that voltage. The voltage depends on the amount of usage. So on a hot day, the sun comes up, everybody turns on their air conditioner and turns up the air conditioner, whatever. Okay, that power company knows that that's going to happen. What if all of a sudden we have in a bank of 30,000 houses in a city, all of a sudden 10,000 of them have solar panel output? Say you have coal or nuclear power at the centralized power plant. Okay, now you're gearing up. Okay, the sun comes up. As the day progresses, people start producing more energy, but at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, or let's say noon at peak time, the clouds roll in and all of a sudden it starts to rain. Oh no, let me do this at 10 o'clock in the morning, a much better example. 10 o'clock in the morning, it starts to rain. Everybody has their air conditioners on. Okay, the centralized power company ramps up power because you're not producing as much. They're watching the voltage drop. They're producing more power. And all of a sudden at noon, the clouds roll away, the sun comes out, those 10,000 homes start producing electrical power at high capacity for an hour or two. How are you going to shut down that coal plant that's running at full capacity? What, are you going to run in there with a garden hose and cool it down, or the nuclear power plant, you know, that's running, you got the steam generators going, you have this entire system running at full capacity on a hot summer day, and all of a sudden all of these solar panels kick in and start producing energy? You're going to send the voltage off scale, and you're going to start burning out everybody's electrical equipment. Do you see what the problem is here? This is not a solution. It's a disaster in the making, and the more solar panels they sell, the worse it's going to become. What if you could produce an intelligent solar controller that would signal the power company when this is going to happen? It still wouldn't help the problem, because you can't simply shut off a nuclear power plant or a coal plant that's burning at full capacity just because the sun decided to come out. You know, the more solar panels you sell, the worse it becomes. But don't tell this to Elon Musk. He's going to make his money, and it's going to guarantee the central power companies their cut of the profit. And also, it puts them in control of the voltage. And this is something that, before all of this gets too far out of whack, ask the question: who controls the voltage of the central power company? Who controls the voltage? And the way it is now, the central power company controls the voltage on the line and the distribution to your house. My system, the central power company simply produces energy, and the intelligence, which is just a very simple It's almost like a thermostat, very simple device, provides produces the electric voltage at your house. And I gave this example before, and you're probably saying, well, how do you do this? Let's take an example of just a simple LED flashlight. LED flashlight needs a very set voltage to run, and or an automobile, the same situation. You need a very set voltage to run that automobile, and you want to run it at that level until the batteries are completely expended. And this is one of the beauties of gasoline, is your power vehicle has full power up until the last drop is consumed. So as long as you keep your gasoline in your tank, you can run at full power. Under the old battery scenario, as your battery lost energy, as it used power, the voltage went down, and the ability to run a flashlight, remember the old flashlights, the incandescent flashlight bulb, would burn, get dimmer and dimmer and dimmer until finally it just went out. Well, that was the battery power dropping off and off until there finally was no more battery power. That's the old scenario. With the new scenario, you have a voltage controller. And no matter how low the voltage gets in your battery, the voltage being supplied to your device, the LED flashlight, your car or your house or whatever, remains the same because you have an intelligent controller. Okay, well, it takes more current at a lower voltage out of your battery, so you're using up your battery faster as the voltage drops, but still you maintain the voltage, and this is done at the local, up the block, at a smart controller for your neighborhood or at the individual house. And so now all you need are energy generation centers which dump energy onto the grid, and that energy flows from the country. It could be windy in San Diego, and not so windy in New York, and you have the energy flowing up to that part of the country. And so on average, you simply need and then you build more, you overbuild with the wing generators, which are very efficient, even at low wind speeds, they're very efficient. So the point is that you build, in replacing the 150 nuclear power plants around the country, each of about 500 megawatts each, you put in one or two 750 megawatt wing generators in that location, and now you have much more power than you would have had with the 500. You overbuild with the wing generators, but guess what? In 100 years, that wing generator is going to be producing power. In 200 years, that wing generator, being properly maintained, is going to be generating power from the wind for free. Gee, I wonder why nobody wants this. And see, now in my system, the centralized wing generators do not control the voltage. They simply dump the energy onto the grid, and with a diode that prevents the energy from backing up into the system at a certain frequency, at a high voltage that comes off the wing generator already at a high voltage. And this is the way you run the grid. You simply, those wing generators are simply dumping energy onto the grid. It doesn't matter what the voltage is, because that voltage is controlled. If one day it's windy every place and you have more voltage, you simply scale back the wing generators. You'll never go over the high end, because the wing generators can scale back. If it's not windy in a certain area, it's going to be windy someplace else, and you get your energy from another part of the country because you've overbuilt. Let's take an example of a hydro dam. Let's take the Hoover Dam. 2.2 gigawatts of potential power, but it's sitting there idle out on the southwest desert of the United States. The lakes are empty. The California drought, I was out there recently, saw many, many lake beds with tubes sticking up out of the dry lake bed that are used for hydro generation of power, of electric power, and just sitting there empty. But the wind's blowing like crazy over that same area. All of the cement, unbelievable amounts of cement in the Hoover Dam, the unbelievable amount of infrastructure necessary to generate that meager 2.2 gigawatts, in the 1930s, it was the only way to go. It was a good deal. Hydro was a good source of energy. But the problem is that if it's not raining, if you got a drought, it's not producing anything, and you still have to maintain that facility. Wind blows all the time. I don't care if you're on the North Pole in the middle of the winter or the South Pole in the middle of the South Pole winter, there's no sunlight at all. You still have wind and you still have plenty of energy. The dumb little three-blade wind generators aren't going to cut it. They're not going to produce any significant amount of power. The biggest they can get is about 4 megawatts. Those would be the gargantuan ones they're trying to bring online now. But the average three-blade wind generator is 1.5 megawatts. It's not going to solve the world energy needs. So at any rate, I have a couple comments here about comets here. I got to get in it towards the end of this show. But let me talk about the Elon Musk announcement here, which oddly enough came shortly on the heels of the show I did dealing with and criticizing solar power the last time. What they're offering, basically the announcement was very simple. They have a 7 kilowatt hour package and a 10 kilowatt hour package. These are basically a nice form fit package. You plug it into your house, relatively easy to install into your electric box, and basically you store up power with an intelligent controller. You store up power during off peak times, or if you have your own solar panels, etc., you can store up power from those and then use them in case of power outage. But how long is that going to last? How long is a 10-kilowatt-hour package going to last? Well, at 11,000 kilowatt-hours per year, the 7-kilowatt-hour package is going to last you about 5 hours in your house. The 10-kilowatt package might run you 7 hours. You see what I mean? It's not much. The average household, unless you're just, okay, if the power went out, you'd probably cut back, you'd probably run your refrigerator, you probably wouldn't run a lot of lights, you'd say don't use the TV, don't use the computer, which chews up quite a bit of electricity, don't use the washing machine, certainly. You'd probably want to run the fan on the furnace so you can heat your house. You would not run the air conditioner. You could run your house, if you used all your capacity, you could run your house with the 10, with the bigger unit, you could run your house for about 7 hours. So in terms of emergency backup, it's not going to do too much. And by the way, I just had an interesting discussion. I called in, was on the James Jancic show Feet to Fire this past Sunday, and he was querying me about a system. He was trying to figure something out for his studio so that he could still run his show if there was a power outage. And I said, well, get yourself a propane-ready generator and probably a 250-gallon propane tank outside. Have it hooked up, and that's a system that would run for 24 hours a day for days and days and days at full power. And you'd probably have about an 8,000 to 10,000 watt generator that would literally run your house just like normal. You can wire it into the max. And this is a much better solution for somebody that's worried about emergency. It's a much more reliable source. And if you wanted a good power pack, then buy the Elon Musk $10,000 power pack. But you can buy a lot of lead acid batteries for $10,000 or $7,000. Now I want to switch gears quickly, talk about lithium, the availability of lithium. Okay, so now a little bit of discussion of the sources of lithium. And this is, like many resource problems, this is a complicated topic. The main sources of lithium right now in the world come from Chile and Bolivia. But there's a little problem with Bolivia because it is politically not aligned with the United States. But be that as it may, I've seen some interesting numbers which I agree with, and it turns out that if you use the entire lithium battery production capability based on lithium, the source of lithium-ion batteries, that you could make around 11 million electric automobiles per year. given the current battery pack size, etc. Of course, if you have extended battery packs, that number would diminish. But the end result is that you have capacity for 11 million automobiles to be produced per year. Now, that is not very many. But you think, well, gee, that's quite a few automobiles. Well, that would take the price of lithium-ion batteries for cell phones, for camcorders, and for other small devices and send it through the ceiling. Now, your cell phone lithium-ion battery or replacement battery would be extremely expensive. They're already pretty expensive. And that's a good portion sometimes of the expense of a phone or a camcorder, etc. That's an expensive component. But if with any industry, all of a sudden when you start making major changes, it's like in the food industry when they started converting corn to biofuel, all of a sudden people in Asia started dying of starvation, because it drove the price of rice up. So when you start doing things and you start claiming it's good for everybody, you better start looking at everybody because something has got to give when you start making major political changes or economic changes in the fabric of the world. And so is it practical to start putting lithium-ion batteries in everybody's house? Well, actually, there was a new discovery of lithium in Wyoming, where they say the reserves, now these are estimated reserves based on some very sparse data of slew liquid content in the ground. And these estimates many times are grossly overestimated to bring in investors and have them put money on the table to continue with geological expressing, etc. But at any rate, the bottom line is that the source of lithium is not sufficient, and the people who have done serious calculations say that if you're going to make batteries for automobiles, you need a combined source of technologies. I've always said that capacitors are the way to go. I mean, we have to start basically a battery is nothing more than a capacitor, kind of a chemical capacitor in a sense, but the end result is that we need a much more efficient battery system that does not require exotic metals. Lithium is actually a metal. It's the lowest metal in the periodic table, but nonetheless a metal. But in terms of other metals like the iron or whatever, certainly aluminum, certainly not an abundant element in the earth, and certainly expensive to extract when it is found. A major issue that I have to discuss here is who controls the voltage. Now, I've already talked about this, but it's so important. Nobody talks about this in the press. We have, unfortunately, the science and engineering news media, which does not have any intelligence, has no ability to ask questions, just produces gee whiz, isn't that swell articles, and everybody reads it and bites off hook, line, and sinker. But the real issue is who controls the voltage, because if you leave the control of the voltage regulation in the power grid system, if you leave it in the hands of the centralized power companies, then they will maintain control. That's why when I designed the wing system, this is a ground-up design. The voltage is controlled by you, the end user. Let's talk about terrorism. If you have the control of the voltage at the end user system, things like surges, EMPs, etc., are eliminated. So the whole problem with EMPs is simply because we have a power grid system that depends on the voltage being set by the centralized power unit. The ability to use alternative energy is blocked by the fact that the centralized power unit production company has control of the voltage. If we produce solar power, etc., and we were trying to the whole issue with the energy production from solar, the more solar that is installed, the worse the problem becomes, the more difficult it is for the centralized power company to manage. You know, the whole issue here is that even with the Elon Musk new battery pack, it provides energy voltage regulation in the hands of the centralized power company, and that's why they are actually backing this, because it gives them more control. So at any rate, these are major issues. The solar panel industry is going to create a major disaster, and only after years, probably not for 5 or 10 years, will the people start to wake up and see the drastically horrible results from this amazingly big investment, dollar investment. Okay, so at any rate, unfortunately, I had to spend another entire show talking about this. This is based on the Elon Musk announcement of the Tesla power packs, home power packs. Really not a solution for anything. It might be a solution for a few people who provide their entire allotment of energy with a solar panel pack at home. But for the average consumer, it's a disaster. Your prices, when the guy down the street and many other houses start putting in solar power, that's going to drastically increase the price of electricity for everybody. And those centralized power companies still have to be there. They still have to run. They still have to be ready to provide peak power when the peak power necessitates at, say, the middle of summer, when air conditioning usage rises, etc. Just, it's going to be an amazing, absolute amazing disaster. So at any rate, I was going to talk also about some orbital dynamics of comets, and also the demise of the dinosaurs, which was in the news this week. The there was an article that said that the dinosaurs died because of a lava flow that occurred in India when supposedly an asteroid hit somewhere over in the Western Hemisphere. And when you look at it, just more silly science, so I'm not going to waste any time here. But what I was going to do, and I'll try and work this in next week, talk about the capture of a comet that would become a moon of Jupiter, and show how that could have affected Earth on many, many occasions, many different, as it orbited through the solar system, could have affected Earth, possibly the other planets, on many occasions, and then nestled in as a moon of Jupiter. In fact, the innermost moon of Jupiter being Io, the newest moon. At any rate, remember, go to the webpage, jmccsci.com. The products there, the water filter products, everything now being produced in the United States, the water filter elements, a very major event in my particular career selling water filters, and all the books, the libraries, etc. And I'm out of time. This is Jim McCanny. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.